Recall the words of Jesus when he was trying to explain the glory of the kingdom of God, and he said, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it ever entered into the mind of man what God has in store for those who love him. And with that being said, he goes on and says, the kingdom of God is like a king. But we know that it's not like a king. It's infinitely more beautiful, more true, more wholesome than what the parable says. You can't put it into English language or into Arabic language. It cannot be spoken by man, the glory and the wonder of God, and its opposite, the heinousness of losing God. And so when he tells us that it's like a king who settles accounts with his servants, it's much more than what this story says. The scripture scholars, in interpreting the phrase, a huge amount, said that amount is so gigantic, what this servant owed his master, that if he worked every single day, even on the Sabbath, with the best paying job that could be had, a lifetime could not pay back what he owed. Nor two lifetimes, nor three. He was so deep in debt, it could never be paid back. And that's why, when he lost his forgiveness and he was handed over to the torturer, it's still going on now. It's called hell. There's never a time that debt can be paid off. Until somebody raises his hand and says, I will take the punishment for her, for him. Oh, Jesus. I will take it. So that you will never have to be punished by a torturer or anything or anyone else. I will suffer for you. But there's one thing I ask you to do. Forgive one another. That's all I ask. And the parable goes on about the servant who was forgiven, and he goes out and he finds somebody who owed him a mere fraction. It could be paid back with just some change that's in your pocket. It could be, here, all right, take it. Now I'm paid back. Something that could be paid back very simply, very easily. And he refuses to forgive. We're going to stand together before Holy Communion, and we're going to pray the most awesome prayer from our heart. And when you're through with that prayer, you've pronounced a blessing on yourself or a curse. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Somebody this morning is saying, Lord, don't forgive me. Send me to hell. Get the torturer after me. Not in words, but from your heart. There's many levels of relationship with one another. There's many levels of forgiveness. You can do it 100 different ways. I'll just talk about 6 ways that you can do it. But I'll tell you this much. You choose the level you want to live on. It's your choice. The bottom level, I call it animalistic. To get even. And with each level, I want to take away a wonder. Because on each level, they wonder. They wonder why bad things happen to me. I hear it in the jail when I go to visit the prisoners. Why did this happen to me? As they broke and enter even their own family's home, their sister's home, to get even because she took something of hers, and we're getting even, and they wonder why something bad happened. And you can go from animal to below animal, where it's not just getting even. It's hurting everybody that never even hurt you. Anybody who's involved, anybody who's near. It's violence. It's animal because I remember one of my German shepherds. It was Commissar. All my dogs were, as you know, dogs are like their owners. They were loving and get along with everybody, and everybody want to come and pet them, and oh, they were just wonderful dogs. Well, Commissar was getting a little older. He wasn't old, but he was a little older. I never had any trouble with any of my dogs, but I still had him on a leash. You never know, he's a dog. So whenever people are around, I have him on a leash. The kids were all around, and they want to pet him. Can we rub your dog? I said, no, you say pet. Okay, you can pet him. So they pet the dog. All of a sudden, he begins to growl, and his teeth opens, and he lurches out after one of the little kids. I said, what's happening? I pulled him back, of course, and I apologized. And the other kids, you know why he did that? No, why did that? I want to know, why did he do that? That's the kid that throws stones at your dog when you're not there. The dog remembered. I don't know what kind of a mind they had, but he's got a memory bank that he could remember. You know how some kids all look alike? Not to the dog. He knows, and he remembers, and he waits for the day that he can keep. Those people who want to get even, well, maybe they don't want to, but they do it. They wonder why bad things happen to me. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. You open yourself to all the evil that could ever come upon you. If that's how you deal with people who have hurt you, don't wait until confession. Don't wait until tonight or you meet that person right now in your heart. Take out that resentment and that getting even, however it may be. Get rid of it now. It's a curse. Oh, I'm not like that. I don't get even. That's one thing I don't do. I'm on level number two. Oh, what do they do on number two? I gossip. And I let everybody know what that person did to me. And I don't go to his friends or her friends. I go to those that I know were hurt too. And when I start to tell them, they'll confirm, you're right. You had a right to do that and get angry because he did the same thing to me. Look what he did to me. And now we've got two stories. We can tell two bad things about this person. Do you know what they wonder? Those people wonder why they don't have any friends. They know that the friends that they have aren't friends. They're friends because they're afraid if they weren't friends, you'd be gossiping about them. So that's how they stop your gossiping and telling what they know about you. Well, you don't gossip. You're on another level, aren't you? People hurt you and you just cry and you're sad. Oh, she had no right doing that to me after I did for them. You're very, 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 very sad because people hurt you. You walk around never happy. And you wonder why you're depressed. These people go see psychologists, psychiatrists, to get rid of depression. Oh, that's not me. I'm better than that. I'm on another level. Oh, you are? Where are you? Oh, I'm way up here. You know what I do when people hurt me? I build walls. I'm not calling her anymore. I got caller ID. She calls me, I'm not home. I don't talk to them anymore. They got their life, I got my life. Do you know what these people wonder? They wonder why God never talks to them. Forgive me, Lord, the way I forgive others. But I said, you sure you mean that? Yes, Lord. He doesn't talk to you anymore. They wonder why their prayers aren't answered. St. Luke makes it very clear, and the first reading from Sirach made it very clear. When you stand in prayer asking for help, first, forgive those who have injured you and then come. Ask, you shall receive. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Is that the level? Is that how you take care of hurts? No. I'm better than that. You know where you are? This is where I found you. I don't want to leave you here, but this is where I found you. Way up here. When somebody hurts you, this is what you say. I hear you. They did it to Jesus. Why wouldn't they do it to me? Who am I that they can't talk against me? Ruin my reputation. Why did they ruin his reputation? Right to the court hearing. He's a blasphemer. They threw stones? No, they were rocks to kill him. Remember Nazareth? He's God. We're human beings. And we reach out to strike him who is totally innocent. And I'm a sinner. Why wouldn't they talk against me? So they lied. They lied against the Son of God. And you know what happens up here? You wonder. I'm going to ask you to stop wondering why you are so blessed. Something happens when you accept that suffering that Jesus went through. You are so blessed. You'll hear people to say to you, how do you do it? Why are you nice to that person? Don't you know what he did against you? You say it's all right. And then you remember that verse, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's so beautiful. I'm so blessed. Watch yourself. If you ever wonder, why am I so blessed? The Our Father. You forgive others. And you are forgiven in the same way. But there's still one more level that I want to tell you about. Few people get there. I would love to be there. I just read about it. But I know it works because I've seen it. And it's way up here. It's another level of forgiveness. It's so beautiful. We have to change the word hurt to the cross of Jesus Christ. And this person up here looks for an offense, looks for someone to hurt him. If you get to be about 6 o'clock at night, 6:30, 7 o'clock, you say, something's wrong, nobody's hurt me today. Where's my cross? I got to have a cross. I got to forgive somebody. I can't be forgiven unless I forgive. I got to find somebody. You are so excited. When your wife doesn't say a word, you not only mowed the lawn, you edged. You not only edged, you trimmed the shrubbery. You are dead tired. You walk in the house and she says, the garage isn't straightened up yet. And you say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. She hurt you. And you're thankful. You're looking for a hurt. It's crazy. I know they called St. Paul crazy. Jesus said, unless you're a fool for him, you won't make it. That's where we're headed. We're headed up there. You're looking for a hurt so you can say, it's all right. I forgive you. Now, there's only one thing problem with this forgiveness talk. And this is not for you again. This is for people who are very immature and just beginning. Because somebody came to me yesterday and said, my girlfriend, she was very close. We were thinking of marriage. Had an old boyfriend. She goes off one weekend and spends the weekend with her boyfriend. Now she comes back and says, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Yes, of course I will forgive you. He forgave her. Well, we have to get ready for the wedding. Oh, there's no wedding date. No. There can't be a wedding. Then you don't forgive me. Forgiveness is not enabling. Forgiveness is not acting out the life of a fool and letting the person be a fool. Wouldn't that be absolutely stupid? Walking into a marriage like that where she's having an affair every third year? Don't you think it would be nice to teach her a lesson like you teach children? You forgive your children, but would that be nice if they continue to throw glasses against the wall? Would it be nice for them to use the name of God in vain out in the playground? You have to teach them that you put an end to it, that it isn't tolerated. Alcohol or whatever it is, you don't enable the other person in order to prove that you of course I forgive you. Here's some money, go get drunk. Well, that's not forgiveness. That's sick. You're as sick as the alcoholic. You're a codependent. You're an enabler. Forgive doesn't mean to let them walk all over you, killing themselves. You think you're getting them ready for heaven? Letting her act like a slut and be your wife? God, help us. And then with that forgiveness and that love, then they learn that this was bad. I lost my marriage. I lost this privilege. None of that even had to be mentioned for you, because you know that. You know forgiveness does not mean that. But forgiveness means to love. And to strengthen these people who ask for forgiveness, to help them, not to marry them. And he said, do it from your heart. Do it from your heart. If you want to be on this level up here, if this is what you're working on, that you can take a hurt because Jesus was hurt, if you want to go through that wonder that I'm so blessed. I wonder why I'm so blessed. I wonder why everything just works out for me to a perfect end. Or if you want to go to the next level, because these people wonder. These people on this level wake up every morning and they wonder why they are the happiest people on the face of this earth. And it's to these people that Jesus speaks, that not a hair of your head will be harmed. Nobody will harm you. Of course they can't harm you. You're looking for hurt. You're saying, thank you, Lord, for the privilege of carrying that cross today. And it came from a teenager, it came from a neighbor, it came from a spouse. Thank you. Where would the resentment be? The getting even, the holding it deep within your heart, the way of Jesus Christ works. Only the way of Jesus Christ works. Psychiatrists, psychologists, whatever they talk today about the big I, take care of number one. It doesn't work. I am the way, he said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Somebody must have hurt you today. You know why a lot of people aren't even aware of the hurts they have today? Because they're holding hurts of years gone by, of a divorce and a rape or a breaking of windows, or somebody shot at me the other night through the window. And you hold on to those and you become fearful and you become angry and you become dysfunctional. You're not even aware of the everyday hurts. Who hurt you today? Say, thank you, Jesus. I walk with you. And you walk with me and you talk with me. Thank you, Jesus. Right away, what could have been a terrible, terrible Sunday between husband and wife, you're just drawn together. Thank you. You're thanking me. I hurt you. You forgave me and you thanked me. It's just, his life is absolutely awesome. Try him and see. It works. It works. It works. Now I forgave you. Won't you love one another? Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Please stand.